1 John chapter number 5. You know, Brother Johnston in that letter mentioned about having some missionaries, and I don't know how many he had, but I know for sure that he had Caleb and his family. They were a real blessing to Caleb and Abby and Carson. And the interesting thing about that, I'm only telling you this because in 2001, when the Johnstons, 2002, when the Johnstons came here in February, I've mentioned this to you before, they only had one child at the time. Now they have a few more than that. But anyway, that one child was turning one while they were at Anchor Baptist Church. This is only God does this kind of stuff, right? So when Caleb and Abby and Carson are with the Johnstons 17 years later, Carson was about a week from turning one. I just think that's pretty amazing that God would time it all out like that. And so anyway, praise the Lord for our missionaries that we are privileged to support. The Cases, preaching about missions giving there in Mexico City, that's encouraging. The Johnstons, missions giving there in Richmond Hill, Ontario. And so it just keeps on going, and we thank the Lord for it. I'd like to take a little bit of time this evening, and we'll be looking primarily in 1 John, but we'll be looking at some other scriptures as well. Speaking about this theme of identifying marks. Identifying marks. You could say in lieu of Opal's birth, you could say birthmarks. You know, I don't know, maybe you have a birthmark or not. Don't show me if you have one. That's okay. I'm just curious. I know our son has one right on his head. It's still there. And guess what? Carson has one right on his head. And so sometimes I guess those things are hereditary. I don't know. But maybe you have a birthmark. But identify, it's something that identifies us in that respect. But we're not talking about it in a physical sense. We're obviously talking about it in a spiritual sense. And I believe that in the book of 1 John, we're going to see several things that identify us. I'm just going to read the first verse, and then we're 1 John 5:13. Many of you probably have it memorized, which says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." And really, the emphasis that I'm making just by introducing this is the first few words, which say, "These things have I written. These things have I written." And every book of the Bible has a purpose, right? Every book, from in the beginning to the end of it all in the book of Revelation. Amen, right? Or whatever the last word is. I can't remember right now. It might be amen. Is it amen? Amen, right? And so all of it, it's for a purpose. It's written for our nourishment. It's written for our good. It's written for conviction. I mean, it has a purpose. And so several things about just introduction. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Just a few things here to begin this book of 1 John, and then we'll get into the identifying marks and go with this as far as we can tonight. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, again, we need you. This is not about the preacher's words. This is hopefully we want it to be. We've been praying about it to be. We want it to be what you have, and we believe that it is. And as we open your word, I pray that we would open our heart, that your Holy Spirit of God would impress upon us what we need to hear tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice in verse number 4 of 1 John chapter number 1, it says, "And these things write we unto you." So there's another form of "these things that are written unto you." "These things write we unto you, that your" what? "Joy may be full." So the first part of just kind of some four things, this isn't the identifying marks, but four things about 1 John that we can identify or that we can emphasize is that it promotes, one of the purposes of it is it promotes joy in our life. "These things write we unto you." What I'm about to write unto you, the reason I'm writing it unto you is that you don't just have joy, but that your joy is full. And every Christian knows that we need joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's given to us. And circumstances cannot take it away. But again, Many times we go to the book because we need joy. And only the Holy Spirit of God produces that in our life. Turn over to chapter number 2. So 1 John promotes joy in our life. Secondly, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My little children, these things," and there it is again, "write I unto you, that ye," and what's the next two words? "Sin not." "These things write we unto you, that your joy is full," promotes joy. "These things write we unto you, that ye sin not." So another purpose is to prevent sin. To prevent sin. We want to be as believers, and it's part of what we'll talk about later on. We want to sin less every day. We want to be sinning less. We want to be honoring God more. We want to be yielding to the Spirit more, not yielding to the flesh. So it promotes joy. It prevents sin. Look at chapter 2, verse 26. Helps prevent sin. "These things have I written unto you," written unto you, "concerning them that seduce you." Seduce you. We were talking about that on Sunday. We were talking about the enemy on Sunday. In Sunday school the last 2 weeks. And we have an enemy. So number 3, just kind of introduction. 1 John, another purpose is to protect the saints. To protect the saints. "We've written these things unto you concerning them that seduce you." We want you to be equipped. We want you to know as you go into spiritual warfare. We want you to be well equipped and ready to battle for the Lord as a Christian soldier, onward and forward. And then the fourth one we just read in 1 John 5:13, I won't reread it. It is to provide assurance, where it says, "These things have I written unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." So again, I've written these things that your joy is full. I've written these things that you would begin to sin less. I've written these things that you might be protected from the enemy. And I've written these things that you might have assurance. And so these are some kind of overall things that we find in the book of 1 John. Now, as we think about identifying marks, you know, those of us, if you've had children, you've been around children, sometimes when you see a child with their parent at certain stages in life, you might say, yes, that is definitely your son, or that is definitely your daughter. It might be the physical features. It might be the way they carry themselves. It might be because they're so mischievous. Don't point at anybody right now. But there's identifying. That's definitely, that child belongs to you. They have your walk. They have your talk. Especially if you knew someone when they were that age, it's even more identifiable. It could be, again, how they talk, how they speak. And so what are we looking at here tonight? We're not looking at physical characteristics, but we're looking at some birthmarks. We're looking at some identifying marks that identify us with our dad, our Heavenly Father. And really, as a Christian, as the older, and I'll probably repeat this, the older we get in Christ, the more we should look like God. Act like our Heavenly Father. I don't mean look like as in, because we don't know what God looks like. But our identification should be someone who is growing in grace. This quote I found by William Jennings Bryan: "An atheist can find an answer for every argument that you can offer, except the argument of a consistent Christian life." This is what God has done in my life. There's no other explanation than that God has changed me. I was this before I got saved. God has changed me. God has made me a new creation. And it's only by the grace of God. Your testimony and our testimony, there's no arguing our testimony. It comes back to the goodness and grace and power of God. So my life should be marked by these qualities. There should be some evidence that I belong to the Lord. And that's what these are. Number one, let's look at the first one. 1 John chapter 2. Number one is the birthmark or the identifying mark of obedience. Obedience. 1 John chapter number 2, verse 3 says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, matured. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So my walk should begin to line up, and my walk should begin to be identified with the walk of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, am I again, and this is the thought that I had, and I'll say it again, that my love for Christ should be growing the older that I get. And if my love for Christ is growing the older that I get, and I'm not talking about 46 years old, I'm talking about in Christ. How old are you in Christ? Whenever you got saved, that's in, you know what I'm saying, that the older we get in Christ, the more I should be have a love for Christ, the less I want to do what I want, the more I want. So it is an identifying mark. It is a birthmark of a believer. Now again, I'm not going to look at someone who is out, who is not obeying the Lord and say with authority, well, they're not even saved. But I do wonder someone who repeatedly and all of the time lives in disobedience to God, because we know what's going to happen if they're saved. You know what's going to happen? They're going to be chastened. The Lord chastens those whom he loves. If I am his child and I'm going headlong away from him, I'm telling you what, right now, that's what he's going to do. Very lovingly, but he's going to do it. And so, again, it's not for me to try to figure out, except all I know is this. It is an identifying mark of someone who is saved, that they have a genuine desire to obey. I remember when the kids, my kids, anybody's kids, doesn't matter whose kids they are, all kids, when they're little and they get into the whatever, the terrible twos and all that, and the three, and I don't know, maybe that's never happened to you. I don't know. I'm sure we had cantankerous two-year-olds in our home at one point. But the point is this. After some time of teaching and training and loving and instruction, what happens is as a child begins to get older, we hope they begin to obey more. We hope that they begin to obey the first time after some instruction, maybe even a little bit of discipline, right? I got the Board of Education on the seat of knowledge many times when I was a child. Plenty of times. I remember told you that my parents had a paddle, and all of our siblings' names, if you haven't been here for a while, or if you've been here newer, you got to hear this. My name was on the paddle. Ben, John, Sarah, Matt. And whenever we got a spanking, there was a tick mark. I'm not going to tell you who had the most. Thankfully, it wasn't me, but I won't tell on my brothers. It was one of my brothers. My sister was an angel. She hardly ever got a spanking. I think she had zero on there. Good night. But anyway, what I'm saying is that as we get a little bit older, as our children get a little bit older, we pray and hope that they, and again, we all have the ability to, I'm just saying, we hope that they're obeying a little bit better as they get older than they were when they were trying to first figuring out they actually had a will. Right? And that only, what does that come with? Maturity. Maturity. So let's think about it in the Christian life. We still have a will at four. I still have a will at 46 that I had when I was 6. But hopefully, I'm willing to say, no, that's not the way to live my life. Because I want the world to know that I have a Heavenly Father that I love. John 14:15. You want to turn over there quickly? Maybe you know it. I believe it starts with the word if. If. It's one of those clauses, these if verses in the Bible. John 14:15. Identifying mark, birthmark. John 14:15 says, if ye love me, what's the next word? Keep. Keep my commandments. Yeah. Keep my commandments. I love you, Lord. But then, you know, we're disobeying God's word in certain areas of our life. And every one of us here tonight, we have areas of our life where the Holy Spirit of God is saying, look, you need to be more obedient in this area of your life. So what do? We say, you know what? That's right. And we yield. Sometimes we get our shoulders up, and we don't want to give in. No child obeys 100% of the time. And I have to admit to you that even as a believer tonight, I don't obey 100% of the time. But my goal is to give more and more evidence that I am a Christian, and obedience, the song says, shows that you believe. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Yes, sir. Obedience is the very best way to show that we believe. God, even in the Old Testament, the book of 1 Samuel indicates how important obedience is. Look at 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. So this is an identifying mark of a believer tonight, and that is obedience. Look at 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And this is in relation to Saul, King Saul, the first king of Israel, kind of obeying and kind of not obeying. You know what my dad used to say? Something like this. If you didn't obey exactly how I asked you, then you didn't obey at all. Something like that. You know, partial obedience is no obedience, right? And Samuel said, hath the Lord, 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, pay attention, King Saul. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, which means to pay attention, to heed it, than the fat of rams. For rebellion, to not obey God, here is the opposite of obedience. In verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Man, are you kidding me? God says that my rebellion is like praying to the dead in Mexico City. I'm not belittling either one. That's how bad it is. You know, we think about people praying to the dead in Mexico City, and we think, man, those people, they, whew, that's, and it is. But you know what? What's worse, people there living in ignorance maybe, who've never heard the truth, or you and I who have all 66 books of the Bible and have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us, and yet when God prompts us to do something, we say no. I think I might say those who have a lot more light. That's seemingly to me would be worse. But notice how he closes verse 23. Why is it that way? Why is it that way that it's identified as witchcraft and iniquity and idolatry? Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He's also rejecting you as king. Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I... That's a powerful three words right there. Feared the people. And obeyed their voice. Notice that. Wow. See, we're obeying all the time, but we're obeying the wrong voice, I guess. Right? So an identifying mark of a Christian is someone who obeys. And again, I'm here just to encourage us tonight to be believers that obey God. No matter what it is, let's just obey God. When you're reading your Bible in the morning or in the evening or in the afternoon or all three, and when you hear the preaching and teaching and whatever, and God impresses upon your heart something, let's just obey God. And again, the older we get in Christ, the more my desire should grow to obey. Why? because my love for Christ should be growing. I know I've repeated that for emphasis. I need to love Christ more. Think about how much He loves us. He loves us with an infinite love that we can't understand. Speaking of that, let's go back to 1 John. Let's look at our second birthmark. Our second identifying mark. Look at 1 John 3, verse 14. Identifying marks of Christians. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Again, how do we know that God loves us? I mean, all we have to do is look at the cross. We can look at many other things, but that's the first place we look to see that God loves us is the cross. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Second identifying mark, second birthmark is the birthmark or the identifying mark of love. Of love. When we get saved, we get indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God, and we begin, our whole way of thinking begins to change, where without being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, most of the time we want what we want. We love ourselves. Isn't the Bible say that we're supposed to love as we love ourselves? And when Jesus Christ comes in, and when Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, then there is a beginning, a change is happening. That my way of thinking, my way of acting is supposed to be different. And so a mark that I begin to have, not because of me. Remember, these marks are not because of us. This obedience mark is not because we determine to obey. It's because we let the Holy Spirit of God control our lives. You're not going to obey God. I'll go back to that one for a minute. I left off something. We're not going to obey God simply because we want to. Because there's many times my flesh does not want to obey. But if I yield to the Spirit, you know what we're going to do? If we yield to the Spirit, we're going to obey. When it feels good, when it means, when it looks good, when it feels bad, when it means that, you know, it might get worse before it gets better. You know, tell the truth. Always tell the truth. We're going to come to the truth here later on. I already gave you one of them. But the point is this, that as I yield to the Lord, my obedience becomes maybe a little bit easier as I yield to the Lord, because the Lord gives us the strength to obey. My love grows. Why? Because I'm letting God love through me. And this isn't loving only those who love me. This is a Christ-like love. Look at verse 16. Here we see love in action. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Where's the action? He laid down his life. That's action. That's action. I love you. I love, you know, again, husband and wife. You know, if all that the wife and all that the husband ever do is verbally say, I love you, I mean, that's good, that's wonderful, that's a good start. But if there's not some action in there somewhere and it's only verbal, again, that's only going to go so far. That's really good, but there's got to be some action in there. Notice the way God action was, he laid down his life. That's death, isn't it? To love somebody, many times we have to die to ourselves. Even in a marriage, I have to die to what I want. That's love. We have to die to what somebody else wants. That's love. Love in action. Verse 16 there. Look in verse number 17. Not only is love active, but love will always be giving. Boy, our God shows us every day his love. He gives to us every day. The Bible says that he giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Think about what God gave you just today. Do you realize God gave you oxygen all day long today? All day. You breathed all day. God gave you that. At any moment, God could have said, okay, no more. And that's fine. He could do that too if he wants to call us home. That'd be all right. We'd be in heaven. And he gave us that too, by the way. Hey, all day, God gave me these two eyes right here. All day long, I was able to read and see because God gave these eyes to me. You know? All day long, God gave me a mind to be able to think and reason. God gave me that. God gave us legs to move. You know, we don't even think, it's not even a thought process to go from point A to point B, but God gave us the strength to go from point A to point B. Love always gives. You're sitting in a church tonight that was given to us by God. This was not given to us by Anchor Baptist. This was not given to Anchor Baptist by Pastor Turner. No, this is given to us by God. What a gift. And it's giving, 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 giving. And always when we give, it always comes back. Luke 6:38. Always. It is an identifying mark of a believer. Love. Love always gives. He laid down his life. And then we learn, I mentioned it a moment ago in verse 18, love is not just a word. It's not just a word. It's a deed. It's a deed. Let's look at one more. Look at chapter 3. So identifying marks. Identifying marks. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. It's an identifying mark. Love. Love is an identifying mark. One more. Look at verse 19. We'll do some more another time. 1 John 3:19 says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth." We read this a moment ago. "And shall assure our hearts before him." In the book of 1 John, you will find the word truth 10 times. 10 times. Truth. I believe that's pretty important to see it that many times. How about we go over to the book of 3 John? 3 John. 3 John. So, an identifying mark of a Christian, a birthmark of a Christian, is truth. We want to be surrounded by truth. Truth needs to be part of our fiber. You know, a part of our spiritual makeup. Truth, 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 truth. Because we're exposed to so much truth, you know what happens? We can easily recognize error. But truth is important. The devil is always against truth. Look what it says in 3 John verse 4. "I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth." See, I want to be walking in truth all the time. Verse 8. "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things." Excuse me, I gave you the wrong verse. No, that's right. "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full..." No, that's not the right verse. 3 John, I'm looking at 2 John. Well, you know what? 2 John 4 has the word truth in it too. I read that by mistake. Thank you, Lord. Bailed me out again. I meant to read 3 John 4, but I read 2 John 4. Were you looking at 3 John 4 when I read 2 John 4? Sorry about that. Were you in Genesis? Come on, get in the right book. I mean, if I could only guide you in the right book. Anyway, you notice that. Mark that one. So 2 John 4, we got all these. I just read that by mistake, but it wasn't by mistake. So now go to 3 John 3 and 4. That's why my eyes messed me up, because I got these threes and fours because of there's no chapters. "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, Even as thou what? Walkest in the truth. Notice, first, truth was where? In them. It's got to be in me before I can walk it. Right? That's the important, that, again, that brings us right back to the Bible. There's no way we can walk in truth and not be in this book. It's got to be in us. And the more that we consume this book right here, the better that we're going to walk in this book right here. So it was in them, but then it came out. So it's not just that we read all the Bible, read the Bible so that we can have, you know, Billy Bible. No, we take it all in so that it can help us walk. Look at verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Walk in truth. Psalm 25. Identifying marks, birthmarks, obedience, love, truth. Psalm 25, verse 5. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Lead me in thy truth. I wrote down just four quick statements about truth. Let me give you these, and then we're going to go into our prayer page. Number one, when it comes to truth, number one, constantly we need to be learning from the truth. We just mentioned that. Learning from the truth. Secondly, when we learn from the truth, we need to be living out the truth. Living out the truth. Again, we're not just taking in all this information, this truth, so that we can walk around with a truth sponge. We want to take that sponge of truth and we want to wring it out and walk in it. Because that's identifying. Not that we're somebody, but that God is. And then thirdly, we need to labor in the truth. Labor in the truth. Give it out. Share God's word. And it doesn't start with an L, but always tell the truth. You know, God hates lying. You know, the Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. Number one is a proud look. Number two is a what? Lying tongue. Lying tongue. God hates lying. That's Proverbs 6:17, by the way. There's much about my childhood that I've already forgotten. Too much has happened since then, I guess. But I do remember this. Don't lie. Something like this. Ben, don't lie. Because normally when you lie once, you have to lie twice. It's always better to tell the truth. Parents, let's expose our kids to truth. You can take this a long way. Be careful what your kids read. Be careful what they watch. What are they exposed to? And yeah, we need to teach our children what is error. Right? They should learn that from mom and dad first. They should hear it at church as well. We should compliment each other, parents and preacher, parents and teacher. But they need a heavy dose of truth. Because the truth is what sets us free. From what? From deception. Because why? We know the truth. So these are marks. When somebody sees a Christian, I want them to identify us by our obedience. We obey God's word. And if you're a child here tonight, your first priority is to obey mom and dad. That tells us, that's what it's told in God's word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But we can learn from that too as adults. Our Heavenly Father, we need to obey him because it's right. An identifying mark of a Christian is love. Love, love, love. Identifying mark of a Christian is truth. There's a couple of more. We'll give them.